morning, everyone. Time to start our worship service. If it's convenient for you, I'm going to ask you to stand and sing, "Holy is the Lord." We stand and lift up our hands for the joy of the Lord is our strength. We bow down and worship Him now. How great, how awesome is He! And together we sing. Everyone sing. Holy is the Lord.
From Blake and Maley. We got Dogs and Horses next Saturday at October 1st at 4 o'clock. So bring your kids and grandkids and come hang out with us.
We also want you to bring some desserts, and we're going to have smoked ribs, chicken, hot dogs, and s'mores. So come join us.
I think they want to make announcements from now on. No? I think it's my spot. All right. There will be a business meeting tonight during the evening service starting at 6. The 27th, the teenagers. It's for senior adults event at the Union Baptist from 11 to 1 p.m. And then October 18th, the annual meeting at FBC in Alpena. There'll be a meal at 5:30 and a meeting at 6:30. Any more announcements? Yep.
Good.
Many of you are familiar with Informed Choices. It's a ministry that we support as a church, and some of you may support individually as well. It is a pregnancy crisis center. They do a wonderful job of working with people, educating and coming alongside these moms that need the support, that need the help. And it's really been a fantastic ministry. I know Rhonda has spoken here. And on the 11th, on October 11th, they have a banquet that they present this ministry. It is a wonderful event. It is really good to hear them lay out some of the things that they're doing, involved in, and how we can come along beside them and help. It is a fundraising banquet. They are looking for commitments at this banquet. Usually the seating is pretty limited, but this year I think there's some openings. There is some availability to go. Jennifer and I are going to be taking a group there. We would love for you to come with us. It is an RSVP. They do need a head count, and we need to have if you're coming with us, we need to know, I guess is what I'm saying. So get with Jennifer and I, and we'll get your name down, and we'll make sure that we can get there and hear what they've got to say. The climate is changing with Right to Life, and it is so very important for us to be able to support those moms, to be able to come along beside them, to help them to know that this is a good choice, that we've got to support that mom. We have got to be able to come along with her and help her see that there is help available. So this is a ministry that does a very good job of that. Please let us know real soon that you want to come, and we'll have a good evening and looking forward to it. I'm done now. The last group got quite an applause when they were done. Just a,
all right. Speaking of baptisms, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Let's all stand as convenient to you. 1, 2, 3.
We have heard the joyful sound. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Spread the tidings all around. This our song of victory. told thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Consecrate me now to thy service, Lord, by the power of grace divine. Let my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and my life be lost in thine. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer.
Not I, but through Christ in me. Defeated.
that he will bring me home. And day by day, I know he will renew me until I stand with joy before the throne. To this I hope, my hope is only Jesus. All the glory evermore to him. When the race is complete, still my lips shall repeat, yet not I, but through Christ in me. To this I hope, my hope is only Jesus. All the glory evermore to him. When the race is complete, still my lips shall repeat, yet not I, but through Christ in me. When the race is complete, still my lips shall repeat, yet not I, but through Christ in me. Yet not I, but through Christ in me. Yet not I. Father's arms are open wide, amen. Are you hurting and broken within, overwhelmed by the weight of your sin? Jesus is calling.
Forgiveness was bought with the precious
cross as you wait for the crown. Tell the world of the treasure you found.
Sing it out.
Oh, what a Savior. Isn't He wonderful?
Christ is risen.
Bow down before Him.
Bow down before Him. For He is Lord of all.
Sing hallelujah.
Christ is risen.
Oh, come to the altar.
Oh, come to the altar. The Father's
arms are open wide.
Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ.
Be seated, please.
As our ushers come to receive the morning offering, we're delighted you're in the Lord's house with us today. If you're visiting with us for the first time, there's a visitor's card there in the pew in front of you. We'd appreciate it if you'd fill that out and drop it in the offering plate. If you have a note or something that you want to put on that, that'd be okay too. One of our men will come and lead us in prayer.
Let us bow. Our Father, we just thank You for the opportunity that is given to us this day to come and worship You. And Father, as we enter into this time of worship with our offerings, we just pray, Father, that You just bless it, that we might use it to further Your kingdom. And Father, we are so thankful for blessing us with the ability to give. And Father, we just ask again that we use it for the furtherance of Your kingdom and bless it as only You can. These things I pray and give thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.
thought I couldn't, Mike. You're involved in children's church. We're going to allow you to take charge of your group right now. And the third grade through the sixth grade will be staying here in the auditorium listening to their favorite pastor preach. We've decided that Blake and Maylee will be making all the announcements from now on. They know how to do it quick. Wasn't that good? That's good, wasn't it? Well, you're going to miss out if you don't come to the house Saturday night. Bring your kids and your grandkids and your chair. We're going to have dogs and horses. Michael Strauss is going to do the cooking. I thought we'd just have hot dogs, but Mike's got a better plan. He's cooking ribs and chicken and cornbread and beans and all the fixings. I think the kids already told you that, but you need to bring dessert. But you mainly need to bring yourself. If you've got a gentle horse that a kid can sit on and be led around the corral, bring it. But we'll have a big time. Some of the young people are going to meet me about 1 o'clock. We're going to start getting things ready. I think Mike's going to start cooking about 10 that morning. And we're going to have us a good time. It's been a while, hasn't it? And we need someone to be in charge of s'mores and the campfire. Got wood, got everything that we need, just need someone to be in charge of it. And if you're going to be in charge of the s'mores, that means that you bring everything that it takes to make s'mores. So you invest yourself and your money in that. And we'll have lots of desserts. We always have a big crowd and a good time and lots of horses. The little video that we showed here a while back really didn't describe how we do it. We've got a little platform with steps on it that Max built for several years ago, and we set that in the corral. And we've got a portable corral that we'll sell out beside the shop, and we've got some of our young people that will lead the horses around. They just lead the horse up to the platform, and the kids get up on the platform and they just step over on the horse and lead it around. Some kids have never been on a horse before, and it'd be a good experience for them, be a good experience for you to be there and just enjoy the fellowship and the fire and be a part of what the Lord is doing. We're anxious to get back to that. It's been COVID and everything's been in the way, and I don't know if we've had it. I don't know when we had it last, but anyway, we're going to have it Saturday night, and I know there's a lot of other things going on, but at the same time, you can't plan anything that there's not something else going on. So that's our plan. We've got folks lined up that's going to help us, and it's going to be a great evening, so I hope you'll come. You don't have to have kids to come, by the way. You just come hang out and enjoy the evening. We're going to start at 4 o'clock and go until we can't. That's not very long for me anymore, but we'll go to dark, and we'll have a good time. Is God good? All of the time, He is good. This day's already started out good. It's already started out good. Take your Bibles and turn to Romans, the first chapter. Romans, the first chapter. I think you've already heard this, but we'll be having business meeting tonight, and we'll have food. Is Todd still here? You boys know what we're eating tonight? Pizza? Okay, you spring whatever goes with pizza. and which is not much. I mean, when we have it, that's what we have. So come be a part of that. That's at 6 o'clock. And come and enjoy the fellowship and the reports. And we have a big time when we give a report. Max rings a bell. And everybody claps. It's good. It's a good time. Okay, take you. I've asked you to open your Bibles. Now look down at verse 18. At verse 18. Let's stand together if it's convenient for you, as Brother Mike says. And we begin with verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. And we live in a society that don't believe that's going to happen, but it's going to happen. Matter of fact, I think it's already happening. I think that we're just too dumb to see it. And then Paul says, who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Some translations say who hold back the truth in unrighteousness. There's folks that not only do they not do anything to promote the gospel, but they do things that holds the gospel back to try to keep people from hearing it, that they promote a society and a way of life that would be against Christianity and what the Bible teaches. So they hold back the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest. He says it's everywhere. It's manifest in them. They know it too. For God has shown it unto them. Can you believe it? For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. Even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and they changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man, and to birds, and to four-footed beasts, and to creeping things. You may be seated. So what have we learned so far, class, in our study of the book of Romans? We started a couple of weeks ago in chapter 1 and verse 1. Paul identified himself as a servant of Jesus Christ. And we talked about that servanthood and what it took to be that kind of servant that Paul had named himself to be. This kind of servant's will is lost in the will of his master. And as I looked at that, I thought about how much I fall short of that kind of servanthood for the Lord. Secondly, Paul gives the gospel in the first few verses. Jesus is God's Son. He came and died on the cross, and He rose from the dead. That's the glorious gospel. Jesus is the Messiah. We're not waiting for someone else to come. He has not raptured the church, nor has He set up His kingdom here on this earth. But that's the next events that are going to take place. There are some religious groups that believe that He's already come back, and that's already taken place. In verse 16, only the gospel can change lives. Nothing else can. We may get it in our mind that, well, if the setting was different, they would be different. Well, I guess there is some truth in that. You can move folks to a better setting, and it's definitely true if a person is on drugs or alcohol, to get them away from the group that they've been running with. No doubt that's true, and that would be the best. But the only way that an individual's heart is changed is through the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's no other way. There's no other hope for society. There's no other hope for our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren other than the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. That they hear the precious Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God touches their heart and they realize that they're lost and without hope, without Christ. The psalmist said that I was in the horrible pit. I was in the miry clay. And He inclined unto me. And He heard my cry. And He reached down. And He picked me up out of the horrible pit. And He set my feet upon a rock. And He put a new song in my mouth. Praise to my God. And many will hear it. And they'll be changed. After we've heard the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, then it becomes our great privilege to share that gospel with someone else. Can you give your testimony in less than 5 minutes? Can you tell someone, this is what happened to me? Has that happened to you? Jesus came in and made this change in my heart when I was 16 years old. I'd never heard what I heard. I decided for myself, this is for me. Can you imagine? I asked Jesus into my heart, and He changed my life, and He'll change your life. I've made a lot of mistakes since then. Have you? Of course you have. You look in the mirror and wonder why the Lord would be so gracious as to save a sinner like you or to save a sinner like me. And Paul said, if anybody wants to claim to be the greatest sinner, let them get behind me. I'm the greatest one. But it's according to His grace. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so here Paul is getting ready to get where the rubber meets the road as he tells us we can't make an icon of some kind and bow down to it and pray to it and make any difference. Every once in a while I'll see an automobile with angels. Anyway, they think it's angels. It's an image. It's some artist reflection that they think maybe an angel might look like. I've never seen one. The Bible says we entertain them and not even know it. But I see an automobile every once in a while, and they will have these icons, these images glued all across the dashboard, as though that is going to give them some kind of protection as they drive down the road. Folks, it's false. Nothing in it. It's a zero. The only one that's able to protect you is Jesus Christ. And He said, lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. And it won't be an easy life. And the three Hebrew children stood up for what they believed was the truth and was the truth. And they were thrown into the burning fiery furnace and they said, King, it doesn't really matter. We're not going to bow down to your image. And we believe that God will deliver us, but if He doesn't, we're not going to do it anyway. I want to tell you something, folks. We need some folks in the church that are willing to take a stand and say, I'm not going to bow down to the images of the world, no matter what. Whether God delivers me or not, He's still God. I don't know His ways. I absolutely do not know His ways. His ways are beyond me and past finding out. But those three Hebrew children found out something when they were cast into the burning fiery furnace. The old king stood up and said, I thought we threw three men into the furnace. And everybody standing around him said, that's right, we threw three men in there. Then why is it that when I look into the midst of the fire, I see a fourth man in the fire in the form of the fourth man? It's like that of the Son of God. Who's the Son of God? How did old heathen king make a prophecy like that? I tell you, God can do as He pleases, and He will. What you and I have to do is decide that He needs to do as He pleases with our life. And that's what Paul had decided here. Also, we learn the importance of praying for our brothers and sisters in Christ. I heard Larry say, God's been answering prayer for our church. Jesus said, my Father's always at work. He's always about it. Never takes a vacation. He never says, well, I'm going to be gone a little while. I hope they make it okay. That's not God. He's there. And the Lord said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll just always be with you. Our prayers make a difference. The Bible tells us in the book of James that the old prophet prayed and it didn't rain. And he prayed again and it rained. But there's something about that passage that we need to pay attention to. He says that he was a man of like passion. He's just like us. You believe it? He's just like us. But he had such a connection to God that whenever he prayed, he got a hold of heaven. I tell you, when we pray prayers like that, I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. My mama taught me that when I was a little old boy, and that's what we prayed when we'd go to bed. She warned us to pray. We weren't Christians. We need to get about this business of praying in such a way that the heavens are not brass, but we're praying in the will of God, that we know what God's will would be according to His Word. It's not my will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And when we've got that lost son or that lost daughter, or we've got a lost mama or lost daddy or lost grandpa or lost uncle or lost work person, somebody that we're with every day, and we pray for them. Listen to me. It's God's will that they be saved. It's God's will. So when we pray, we're praying in God's will for them to be saved and for God to change their life. We've been praying a lot for our grandkids lately. I told you never did get your kids saved. Never did get them raised. You don't ever get them raised. You don't ever get your grandkids raised. God just let you be a spiritual umbrella in their life. To pray over them, to be the example in their life. My grandkids are not ever going to come to my house on Sunday morning and not find me in the church of Jesus Christ. They're not going. Some of the neighbors are not going to stop by and me say, well, we were going to go to church, and now we've decided not to because we've got company coming. My company knows where I'm going to be on Sunday morning, and yours should know too. We're not able to set an example for our kids and our grandkids without being an example and sharing the glorious gospel with them every opportunity we get. Look what God did for us. Look how God has blessed us. Look how God has blessed you. Look here, son. Look how God has got His hand on you.
This is what could have happened. But he's got his hand on you. You need to be serving him. You need to be following him. There is no satisfaction outside of that. No satisfaction outside of serving him. We need to be praying that kind of praying. We need to be praying within the will of God. I'm about to preach out the introduction, not get to the sermon. Paul was sure if he came to Rome, it would help the church. Did you see that? In those first few verses, he said, I'm praying that I'll have a prosperous journey and come to you, and when I come, it's going to help the church and it's going to help me. Because I got some spiritual gift I want to share with you. And it's going to help me, it's going to help you. If I come, it's going to help you. It's going to help the church if I come. Can you? Is that prideful? What's he? Is he strutting here? Is he strutting his stuff? How is the church better because I'm here? How's the church better because I'm here? How's it better because you're here? Because you're a part of Osage Baptist Church. You've come and you've made the church better. Better because you're here. When I've had a couple of three opportunities to be in kind of first starts, some starting over churches. And been able to visualize how much better some folks coming made the church, what a difference it made as they came and became a part of that church. We were involved in a kind of a start over once, and no song leader, no piano player, not much of a preacher. And God brought a little family into the church, man and his wife, and they just visited. Man and his wife and two kids, pretty good sized kids, 8, 9 years old. And Suzanne was a little bitty. She was 2. We were at Buckingburg, 2 years old. Had nothing in the oven. But Suzanne was about 2 years old. And this couple came in. This man and his wife came in, and they sat at the back. Those pews seemed to be a lot more comfortable in the back. They sat in the back, in the very back, and in the back there wasn't very far back. I think there was probably 8 pews on each side. Suzanne got up and just went back there and got up in that guy's lap. Tickled him to death. Boy, he just hugged her up, loved on her. She just sat there. I don't think that the preaching was worth coming back to. But they wanted to come back and see that little girl. And they did. And every day they'd come in. She'd go back there and get in that guy's lap. We became real close, good friends. The woman said, I'm not much of a hand, but she said, I can play the piano a little bit. So she started playing the piano. Anyway, God used them in the church. I never will forget. I see her every once in a while now. I did her dad's. The dad has passed away. I did his funeral. The mother's in a nursing home, doesn't know anybody or anything. That girl came forward she was about 11 years old in the church service, said, I'm going to be saved and baptized and join the church. I said, that's great. Let's get on with it. She was. Now her kids are not in that church anymore, someplace else, but her, they asked me to come back and baptize her boyfriend that had broke his leg. And anyway, we did that. They made the church better. Is it better because of you? Anyway, I don't think it makes a bit of difference. It could. All depends on whether or not you decide for it to. That's the introduction. I'm through. I'm going to start on the main message next time I get behind this pulpit. Let's stand together and Mike will come. And Monica can play the piano a little bit. Pretty good hand. Most important decision you'll ever make in all your life is what you do with Jesus. You may be a Christian here today, but you hadn't done anything with Jesus. You haven't made any difference. You need to, and it'll be up to you. You may, if your neighbor came to you and asked you if you knew Jesus as your Savior, you might say, yeah, I'm a Christian. But you know in your own heart you're not making any difference. It's something you need to do. Maybe you need to join this fellowship. Maybe you need to follow the Lord in believers' baptism. Maybe you need to rededicate your heart and your life to Him. Make a difference. You may be here today and you've never accepted Christ as your Savior. He's knocked at your door, but you haven't let Him in. You haven't opened the door and said, come in, Jesus, be my Savior. Change my life. And you'd do that today? You'd make that decision today? We're going to sing a verse of invitation and give you an opportunity to decide for Jesus today. What if He came through the back door? What if He came through the back door and He looked at every person in every pew and said, would you follow me? Would you follow me? Would you follow me? Would you follow me? And started headed toward the front. Would you follow Him? Would you follow Him? Would you say, yes, Lord, yes. I'm going to follow you. I'm going to be your man. I'm going to be your woman. I'm going to be a witness in my school, at my workplace. I'm going to do what you've called me to do. It's in my heart. I know what I ought to do. I'm going to do it today. As we sing, you come.
Jesus, I love you.
Will you come? Will you come? Will it be you?
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity we've had to hear your word preached. I pray that you would help us to truly put it in our heart. And dear God, be with us as we go out into the mission field, as we leave these doors and go about our work and our week. And I pray that we would take you with us and do our very best to serve you and grow in you in the ways that we need to this week. These things I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.